You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletter, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Mark, you're upset today after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, an ally of President Trump. He was speaking, I think, in Utah.
Yes, a tragedy, just indescribable. A young man in his 30s, I guess who's a spokesman for the conservative movement, and a lunatic took a shot at him and killed him. He's part of what I guess we can call, and I'm sure it's part of it, the Trump derangement syndrome, which unfortunately exists, and it's called TDS. And some of the points related to that, and I see this every day among people that are anti-Trump. They live in denial about the truth. They are very pro-Ukraine and very pro-Palestinian, which I'm not. They love crime, obviously. Look at Chicago. Look at D.C. Look at all the blue democratic cities in the United States. They love to wear masks. They love trans sports. In other words, you know, men can play in female sports. They turn down help often, and they're blind to problems. They have blindness to problems. It's part of the TDS Trump derangement syndrome. So I'm assuming this jerk, this criminal that took a shot at Charlie was part of that movement, and probably there are other factors too, but very upset about it. I think we all should be. And that if no one has the right to take someone else's life because they disagree with them politically. So anyway, and we also, you know, talked a little bit off air. People say, well, this is a financial show. You know, there should be no discussion of politics. Well, you know, politics is part of finance. Look at all the government programs or intervention or lack of. We can talk all day about how politics plays into the stock market or into economics when you're a chairman of the Federal Reserve and the president wants to fire you, for example, or replace a key member of the Federal Reserve. Is that not a political statement of some sort? Sure. So everything in the world has a political component to it, and actions are taken accordingly. So anyway, very upset about it. Horrible event. Horrible way to start an interview, but it just happened within moments after we started this recording. So, you know, Godspeed to his beautiful wife and kids. And I just admired that guy because he's a young man who is trying to make a statement and bring people together and show his conservative viewpoint. And everybody has a right to speak with their viewpoint and not be shocked.
Mark, what's going on the stock markets right now?
Well, we actually saw a new record high in the S&P this morning. Despite the apprehension about a lot of things, whether the Supreme Court is going to review positively Trump's actions on the tariffs, you know, or whether the Federal Reserve is going to lower rates on its meeting coming up here in the third week of September, and, you know, whether inflation is really here or not, or whether the job market is getting worse or better. It's irrelevant. The stock market is apparently discounting this stuff. We just saw some stocks explode to the upside today. I think it was Oracle up 100 points today based on projections of potential increased sales, and that's part of the NASDAQ, and that helped the NASDAQ quite a bit today. By the same token, Apple was off a few points today, but it does show, that progress is being made, and the NVIDIA, which had been down a little bit, which I guess is the biggest capitalization stock, I think, was up several points today nicely, offsetting a little bit the downside in Apple. We're in this crazy time frame, you know, the September-October time frame. We're 2 weeks away from the autumnal equinox, which is the 22nd, 23rd of the month. And, you know, I follow a lot of cycles, and, you know, you generally get a change of direction around these equinoxes and solstices. So we're in this September time frame, and we'll see whether it has meaningful effect or it just creates some volatility here. But I wrote in my newsletter, you know, I said, you know, the fear of September, October could be a bear trap. In other words, everybody's expecting the market to go down, but it does just the opposite, which apparently has been the case up to today. And the Fed meeting, you know, September 22nd, 23rd, and their speculation is will be lower interest rates a quarter point or go for a full half point. And most of the forecasts, economic forecasts that are coming out, particularly in the futures market, which makes bets about this stuff, says there might be three-quarter point cuts between now and the end of the year. Now, you know how I feel about interest rates. Fed is just one part of the puzzle. You have to look at the long-term rates. You have to look at the money supply situation, which has been expanding, by the way. Overall, I just feel that the markets will continue higher, and we'll see the S&P, you know, significantly higher levels, you know, between now and the end of the year, and, you know, maybe a lot sooner, maybe because people don't like September, October. It goes up in September, October, and then sells off at the end of the year, and it does just the opposite of what people expect. So I'm remaining positive, but, you know, you got to, it depends if you're trading or, you know, investing. So if you're investing, stay with it. You're trading, and I guess you got to have some mental stops then in case they will sell off starts, you know, next week or two, day or week or two or whatever, and you have to hedge yourself a little bit. But, yeah, you would get caught up in these key cycle time frames, you know, like the Santa Claus rally, we have to go up, the turkey shoot around Thanksgiving, turnaround Tuesdays where the market often changes direction on a Tuesday, for example, you know, the so-called summer rally, you know, these arcane indicators and cycles of what happens, you know, around Groundhog Day, for example. So there's all these statistical and I guess you call them almanac type cycles and events that you can plug into your thinking. So we look at them, but it's like anything else. You know, it's like the weatherman making a forecast and then checking out the window just before he goes on the air, because the forecast may have nothing to do with what's really happening in the weather that moment. So you have to look at your cycles, look at your short-term events, look at your short-term charts and news, and put all the pieces together if you're making a short-term decision. So for now, I remain overall a bull.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's happening on the gold front?
Well, it's been spectacular. Many of the indexes like the GDX, GDXJ, the ETFs, you know, into new highs. Shares are doing terrific. Gold well over 3,600 now.
Oh.
You can't argue with the trend. The trend is your friend. So, you know, at some point, at some time, there's always going to be a shakeout. It, you know, looks a little extended to me, but it looked extended before. So hang in there. There's a lot of stuff coming, I guess, part of the economic process, the political process with regard to gold and treasury bonds and crypto, and a lot of interesting stuff, a change of the Federal Reserve chairman next summer, and perhaps a more pro-gold type chairman or Federal Reserve getting initiated. So, gold could be 5,000 this time next year. So that's my opinion.
We had a major merger in the mining industry, Canada's tech merging with Anglo-American, a deal worth $53 billion. It's going to make a monster mining company called Anglo-Teck. Any thoughts on that?
I have to look at the charts on both of them, which I don't have in front of me right now. But if it's a Canadian or North American-based company and you have a strong gold market, I'd be bullish on it because that's where the action is right now. Yeah, if you want to have assets in outside the U.S., and some companies do, like a Newmont Mining owns mines all over the world. They're diversified. But my choice would be, you know, something that has, you know, Canadian and or U.S.-based assets with less political or geopolitical risk. So sounds good to me.
Yeah, the merger would create the world's fifth largest copper producer if regulators in Canada, the U.S., and China sign off. Anglo will exchange 13,000 shares for each Teck share, a structure called zero premium merger. The math tells a different story, however, with a 17% premium on Teck's closing prices. It's going to give them some clout, isn't it?
I guess so. They seem to be pretty diversified. Like I say, I'm not up to speed on that particular company or the assets. I'm looking at, you know, tons of gold stocks, but primarily focus on the ETFs, which own pieces of a lot of them, and they've been doing well. So that would be my recommendation. You can own that stock, but I would encourage the ETFs because they're more diversified.
Yes, copper mines are quite often associated with some gold as a side project, aren't they?
Right, and one of the classic examples is based here in Arizona, is Freeport-McMoRan, which is a copper, the largest copper company, but they have a huge component, which is gold. So, you know, Freeport's gold and copper company. And like you say, it is sort of a side product of the mining business, of that business.
What's going on with Bitcoin?
It's in a, what I would look at, if you're a technician, you're looking at a chart, it's in a bullish flag formation. So if you can imagine a flagpole, and a flag that hangs from the flagpole diagonally down to your right as it's waving, it's trading within the flag, up and down, back and forth within this flag formation after making a big spike up, which is the flagpole itself, and that's a bullish formation. So it's just trading back and forth here, getting ready to break out again. Next target should be about 126,000. Got to about 123, pulled back to 108.9, and now it's around that 11-12 level. And beyond 126, then we have the mid-140s. So looks bullish to me.
What's going on with uranium?
Doing great. Cameco broke out to new highs. All the uranium stocks are doing great. The nuclear stocks exploded today. GE Vernova, which makes all the nuclear components and builds nuclear reactors, was up like 35-40 points today in the market. Other names like Constellation Energy were up. It's still hot as a pistol. Still stick with it.
Anything new on the cannabis front?
Cannabis had a big run here in the last few weeks on the Trump comments regarding the rescheduling of the cannabis from Schedule 1, you know, down to 3. And they've been, like, churning back and forth here a little bit. You know, it looks a little toppy. It had a big run, pulled back, ran up again. You know, you had some huge gains. I mentioned this last week's interview. You had Tilray, you know, the Canadian cannabis company, go from 30 cents to $1.40. MSOS, which is the U.S. cannabis ETF, went from about, $2 to $6. So you had some huge gains. So it's digesting all that. And the question is, will the rescheduling really happen? And, as we talked about this quite a bit, that's only part of the problem. You still have to make it legal in the U.S. and it's still not officially legal. If you reschedule cannabis, it still doesn't make it legal. And there still has to be a congressional action on that part in terms of banking and other finances. So, it's encouraging that they've turned up, and it seems to, politically, there seems to be some support for legalizing it. We have the cannabis letter, and we have a bunch of positions, and we're holding them, and you know, these are still money-making companies. I mean, there's a bunch of these companies out there, particularly on the American side and the U.S. side, that do make money. And whether they're selling CBD or THC cannabis in states that are legal, you know, these companies are in business. So, you know, at some point, their businesses will get bigger if the political legal framework gets cleared up, which eventually it will. So I remain bullish. You got to trade them, particularly if you see a stock go up 300-400% in a couple of weeks. You got to know that it's extended, and you got to try to find a better entry point, which I think is the bottom line comment here. I wouldn't chase them today, but I'd watch them.
What's going on the geocosmic front?
Well, space weather, that was an interesting story today. It may not help you with regard to the geomagnetic storms. Apparently, there is one that, you know, broke out today that was reported at spaceweather.com. They call it the Russell-McFerrin effect, which means at this time of year around the northern autumnal equinox, the sun's magnetic field can become connected to the Earth, sparking some unpredictable geomagnetic storms. So apparently that's going on now. So they call it a surprise geomagnetic storm. You know, I for those of you who know me or those listen to these broadcasts, I've been spending the summer here in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I've been going almost every other night to the Lowell Observatory, which is a huge complex here. Percival Lowell is credited with discovering the planet Pluto, though he was a big Mars scientist, but I pay a lot of attention to the both the astrological and the physical astronomy portions of the sky. In fact, when you go out at night, you know, they point out the various constellations and which key stars are involved in that, and galaxies, if you can see them through the telescope. Fantastic stuff. So there's a lot of I have a lot of personal interest in the subject because of my, I guess as a kid, I was always interested in the stars. But there's another story today, just quickly to get to your question. Apparently there's an ambiguous result from Mars. There was a press briefing today, and NASA announced that maybe not, there was a detection of ancient life on Mars. They said last year the space agency Perseverance rover found a rock in an ancient lake bed with unusual markings on it, and they nicknamed the markings leopard spots and poppy seeds. So the minerals Perseverance found inside those markings could be produced by microbes. However, there's some mineral textures that could arise through non-biological geochemical reactions. So it's just an interesting story that NASA is even talking about, that they found something which might indicate an ancient civilization there, which I personally, through my own research and anecdotal evidence, says there's no question had existed on the planet. But that's my opinion based on my own research. But eventually we're going to find out there's a bunch of stuff there. And we may, who knows, we may even find out that the human race came from Mars. Maybe they left just before it blew up and they found another planet and it was Earth. So anything is possible. My intuition says that we probably did come from Mars, but who knows?
Mark, anything else you think that we should be keeping an eye on right now?
Well, just in the pure economic stories, you know, we talked about this a few moments ago, you know, everybody's just worrying about what the Fed's going to do or not do. There's no question they're going to lower rates. There's no question the market, in my opinion, is going higher. You know, my biggest concern is, the risk of World War III. You know, we don't talk much about this, but it's much already underway in a way. Europe is gearing up. They're talking about, indoctrinating creating a bigger military there and spending a lot of money in the defense of Europe and, a lot of stuff that worries me going beyond this year. I mean, we have a lot of crazy, they call them neocons, that are looking for war. And you can point to a lot of fingers in a lot of directions. You can blame Putin. When you do the research, you find out that, you know, he has some basis for his opinions and actions, particularly when the U.S. had lied to him many times and did a lot of bombing in Yugoslavia. And it's a whole report that I put in my newsletter. So Regardless of my opinion or whatever, there seems to be a push toward more military action, which really worries me come next year or the year after. So outside of that, you could also argue that the stock market likes war, just as long as, I guess, you're not participating in it and don't get drafted or you're not shot, I suppose, right? So that's sort of in the back of my head, what's going to happen, you know, on the war funds in Europe, you know, particularly with extreme people on both sides. You can argue Putin's extreme, but you can also say the European Union is extreme too, in France, and they're thinking about, they're going to lose, in my opinion, if they really try to fight Putin. I mean, he's got the largest nuclear arsenal, so if Europe wants to take out Russia, good luck to them. It'll be the end of Europe, unfortunately, which is not good for any of us. So hopefully rational minds, you know, come to the front here and solve all this. We'll find out, and hopefully Donald Trump, which so far has not been the case, but hopefully can bring peace and quiet down these extreme views. So if you said what else is going on, that sort of comes to mind, but appreciate you mentioning it. I guess we just covered just about everything today.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.